Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've seen some stuff.
Didn't know we were going to go right into it.
Oh, yeah. No, we're talking about this today. I have so much to share with you. First of all, I listened to the District 1 Medical Examiner's service, the board meeting from last month, and, you know, learned about some of the stuff that's going on there. I'll tell you about that here in just a second. But, you know, this is all about the Deanna Oleski and about, to some degree, about the, you know, inflated, fabricated, whatever you want to call it, claims against her by some of the funeral home directors at the behest of Stephen Berry, the county commissioner. We'll get into some of that stuff as well. But the new facility that they're trying to, you know, figure out who's going to pay for it and where it's going to be and what the exact financial, you know, process is going to be for that. But again, that's all just a little bit secondary. Candy and I went to the District 1 Medical Examiner's office yesterday. We saw the office,
which is great.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, it's filled with happy, shining, bright, smart people who are doing their work to process all of the cases of, you know, the deaths and sign the cremation mm-hmm. papers. I mean, Deanna Oleski is one who signs those, but you know,
of course, no, and very professional, yeah, and very nice,
fantastic,
very, very nice. Yeah.
So the office on airport, you know, that was one thing. There's a lot of skulls and skeletons around there, just to kind of is.
Oh, they all collect sugar skulls. Which is something that you do if you go on a cruise, so it's not like a morbid thing, but
right,
there are a lot of skulls, right? Just,
you know, because they deal with death a lot. I mean, that's
like
just
the sugar
of,
ones, right?
Anyway, and then we went over to Sacred Heart, and we had a walking tour of the facility that they're in. I say it's on the basement, but it's not really the basement because you walk in the back door, it's the ground level, but it's kind of like the base. I mean, there's no lower level below that.
Right.
And, you know, you may have heard that this facility is in bad shape. This facility is in terrible shape.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God,
it's disturbingly badly. Like, you would never, ever... What you see on TV when you think of, like, a morgue and a, you know...
Right. You're thinking CSI. Everybody thinks CSI. There's one
bright,
guy.
Colored
here's the
lights
problem.
And
here's
beautiful,
the body,
everything.
Six and fridges, and that's it. And
it's not. It's there's one giant cooler that has all of the corpses stored in it, and the floor there is totally not maintained. The walls are all beat up and damaged. They used to have water seeping into the ceiling in some parts, not in the morgue itself proper, but in some of the ancillary.
Plus, it's not just one body. I mean, there must have been 20 in there yesterday
Yes.
that they were working on, because it's four counties.
Yeah, and four counties sharing one facility.
Right, and they had to... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I want you to share, too, because you have a background in this. You studied to be a funeral director.
I do, yeah. I wanted to go into pathology, and it was like, oh, okay. And I know that you have to have a heart and a strong stomach to do it, but
So they prepared us by saying, you know, hey, just... You know, if you feel like you're going to pass out, if you feel like you're going to be sick, you know, kind of take these precautions. And I'm like, well, you know, how bad is it going to be? And they're like, well, there's nothing we can really do to prepare you for it. I said, okay, fine. So, and I'm pretty firm of stomach, you know, except with motion,
same.
Weirdly, is the one that started to get me lately, you know. So, but
dude,
I mean,
don't
like,
throw yourself at Fat Albert. That everybody gets sick there.
Yeah, but that's, but, you know, just nauseous at things that are kind of gross, that's never really been a problem for me. So we go in, and we can't, I mean, I'm not going to describe in any detail to you, okay, what we saw, but you don't want to see it.
No.
There was like 8 or 9 corpses out on tables. Some were being, you know, processed for autopsies in the 3 bays that they have there to work for the autopsies. The others were kind of in various stages of being prepared for the autopsy.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, for a sort of ordinary, normal person, you never think you're going to see anything like this in your whole entire life. And now I have. And not see, which is fundamentally disrupting to, I mean, you just kind of like, what am I? Because you're not used to seeing bodies, naked, wounded, damn it, you know, just all of it in various stages of investigation and, you know, being pulled apart because that's what they do. I mean, it's a really visually traumatic thing to watch, okay? But I think I speak for the both of us. You tell me if I'm wrong. Look, this is, I want to share this with you because this is important to understand, okay? And we had an experience that we want to share because this is what we do as, you know, journalists. But if this bothers you, this may not be the part. I'm not going to get gross. I'm not going to tell you anything, but I'm just, the smell is indescribable. I've never before, and I hope to God never again. It was with me the whole day afterwards. Like my imaginary memory of just the smell of,
I got a text from Andrew, decomposing. And I was just saying that to Darren. Yeah, you do.
It was at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This is like 5 hours after we left
right,
the facility.
We had both,
or 3 hours anyway. And
we both showered separately. Andrew and I do not date. We're married, you know. But no, I went home and showered. And
same thing immediately. Smell, first thing I did when I got home was I showered, and I sent you a text. I said I still smell it.
I know.
At 8 o'clock at night, I'm like, I can still, and I actually was texting a little bit with Dr. Oleski about this, and I said, it's still in my imagination. I can still, like, every few minutes I feel like, oh. And she says, okay, so stick your nose in a coffee jar, stick your nose in the lemon juice,
sure.
You know, get an onion, just batter your nose with some senses, some smells that you would not normally get that intensely, and kind of reset your nose. And that made a huge difference.
Oh, thanks for telling me.
Well, I wanted to make sure it worked before I told you. So, now what had been like, if in the room is like the 10 smell, and in my memory was like a 6, is now more like a 2.
Oh, okay, that's better. Yeah.
But it's still, I can tell you, my brain knows exactly.
Sure.
And the reason I tell you that is because, like, their whole office is just working in that environment. So if you're a family member who's coming to meet with the medical examiner's office in the basement of Sacred Heart, that's what you're smelling when you're in the office complex talking about your loved ones.
And you know when you get those fly bags, and I'm not trying to, but and that smell,
right.
You leave them here on the fence
outside
or whatever,
and,
outside, and you're like, oh, God. Okay, now that is the smell, but it's times 1,000.
Yeah, it's way worse.
So loved ones are seeing this while they're having to identify the bodies.
Right.
A, it's 4 counties. It's despicable the way they make those people work there. There's not even parking spaces, but I'm sure you'll get to that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, all of that. And the reason I'm telling you this is partially so you understand that these folks are doing an amazing piece of public service. Like, I don't know how many times I told them or even, you know, tell my wife, I'm like, I'm glad somebody does it. I'm glad it's not me, you know, because it's very important work to make sure that somebody dies and they find out why. And that it's, you know, that it looks like a suicide, but actually, no, it's a murder meant to look like a suicide. Or no, you know, it's just a, or it's a drug overdose. Or no, it's a murder meant to look like a drug overdose. You know, I mean, that's their job, is to bring justice to the deceased and figure out what happened and make cases if need be and preserve evidence so that if they can't identify what happened now, they might in a couple of years, or if they're trying to identify who a person is that died, which is a very common problem, not being able to identify them. And they work in a really horrific environment, which I know they get used to it to some degree, but you never really can, not entirely. And for me, the takeaway was, one, this is unbelievable service, what these folks do and what they go through in order to be able to do it. And number two, they really need a new building. I mean, there's just no question. Just for the simple fact of they share this space that is very poorly maintained, they share this space that's tiny for the amount of work that they do with other folks who are also using like the same cooler. And so you have,
right, they have like shared spaces that they have to rent.
Yeah. Like they're, you know, you have the corpses that the medical examiner is or has processed are in the same exact room with just people who have died in the hospital.
Right.
Well, that means all kinds of people are coming in and out under what kind of security conditions, nobody knows. And when you're talking about creating, you know, the predicate for homicide cases, right? This is a big deal. So anyway, it was a life-altering experience for me. And you had seen an autopsy before.
Yeah.
And by the way, I have you are not allowed, and thank God, to take, you know, any kind of photos or video or anything like that when you're in the actual morgue itself. So I have some stuff that's of the facility, and including the cooler with, as long as they're in body bags and you can't identify anything, it's okay. But I'll have that up on our Facebook page a little bit later. But yeah, it was, Wow.
And if I could, like, I didn't, I, you always forget this part. The pathologist is the law, is law enforcement.
Right.
As well.
They're all deputized law enforcement.
Right.
They're all officers of the court. That's right.
You forget that part because in your head, you're just like, oh, they're, you know, just trying to figure out what happened so they can tell the cops. And they are the cops. And the police people that are there during the autopsy, like you saw the people standing there,
yeah.
The officers that we did not know because they were from other counties.
Yeah, Okaloosa, right.
Right. And who are amazingly cool. Thank everybody for what they do. Thank all of our law enforcement. But they were just having to stand there too in that room.
For an hour
while their bodies are...
Of the people that they're investigating.
Right, to see what happened. And so it's awful, not just for the surgical techs that are doing it, the whole ME crew that has to do this, but also the officers that are there that have to do this too. There does need to be its own facility.
It's incredibly
cramped. So.
It's incredibly overloaded with, you know, the work that they're doing. And not every day is quite as busy as yesterday was, I get that, but... You know, there's all just
people have misconceived notions. You think it's like it is on TV.
Right.
You've seen
an episode of Bones and you're informed.
Right. And right.
No.
Like I said, like.
Yeah. So we'll talk about this more throughout the morning. But it's just, you know, we experienced this yesterday and Candy with her background can attest that, you know, even she didn't really know what to expect.
Oh, my gosh.
And so. It's
way worse than you think. I mean, right. But they're taking great care of the bodies.
Absolutely,
a lot of
and yet, of course, they're trying in a
lot of respect
efficient manner to process them and get the information that is needed in order to establish causes of death and make cases if cases are relevant. And the things that you have to do to bodies in order to make that happen are things that normal people never hope to see in their whole lives. And I've now seen it, and I can tell you it's very, very unsettling. But again, I have a whole new level of respect for anybody who goes into this field, what they do. And even Dr. Leskey was telling me, we're texting back and forth. I'm like, oh, my God, that smell. And she says, yeah, you know, the first time I actually went in, even I thought I was going to be sick. And I thought, how can I do? I'm going to have to change my whole line of work because I can't handle this. She's like, you guys are troopers yesterday. That was very impressive because it's not always quite that bad. But anyway, 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are
Mavrizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new play.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good night and party on!
Party on, Wayne!
Party on, Garth.
Good morning, 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. One just quick follow-up note on the District 1 medical examiner that Candy and I went and visited yesterday is this. You know how Escambia County has really been dragging their feet and causing problems and, you know, to varying degrees. And, you know, particularly Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh have been causing problems. And, you know, Stephen Barry seems to be just absolutely stuck on preventing them from getting, you know, the new office or not having it be in Escambia County anymore, even though Sacred Heart, that facility is clearly not appropriate for this operation. Anyway, what I thought was fascinating is, you know, I always like to see a thing before I talk about it. And so I'm glad we went. Okay, I asked which of the county commissioners have come and seen this. Okay, Robert Bender has come, didn't see an autopsy. I imagine that space is very different when you're not processing bodies. Jeff Bergosh has seen it and not seen an autopsy. Mike Kohler used to be a nurse, so he's done autopsies. So he's been there. Okay, so no big deal. Lumen May has not been there. And Stephen Berry, the guy who's kind of like trying to call all the shots and tell them what they need and make decisions, hasn't been there either. And they've tried. Like, what in the world? You know, but he's going to tell them what they need?
Well, again, it's hard to not think of it because everybody thinks they know what it
is. Oh, sure, I've seen TV.
TV.
I know what's going
on. And it's not. It's like one time we had a mouse, and I'm not trying to bring the smell up again, but it was over my promotions office when I was doing promotions. Yeah. And you know what that smells like. And again, times it times a thousand because it's large bodies. And
it's, it's a lot. Anyway, a lot. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, there's a few more people officially jumping in the 2024 presidential race. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie officially announced his candidacy last night at a town hall event in New Hampshire, and former Vice President Mike Pence expected to make a formal announcement tonight in Iowa. Pope Francis undergoing intestinal surgery. He'll be in the hospital for a few days. The Vatican has confirmed that the Pope will be under anesthesia while he undergoes abdominal surgery later today. There's a new push in Congress now to keep AM radio and newer vehicle models. A House subcommittee is holding a hearing today on a bill that would require car makers to keep AM radio in their vehicles. Some manufacturers had planned to start phasing it out in new electric vehicles, and the car companies say that the electric batteries interfere with the signal.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. And you know, the other dimension of all this that we didn't talk about now is I don't want to get into this today. I think I will a little bit. So you know the background story that we talked about a couple of weeks ago where, you know, the funeral directors come out with these letters that mysteriously wind up in the hands of Jeff Bergosh, who publishes them. It turns out they came from a meeting that was had with Stephen Berry, the county commissioner at Smokey's Barbecue, where he encouraged them to write these letters, not to the medical examiner's board, which is the authority, not to FDLE, which is the sort of partner law enforcement agency for the medical examiner's board, but to him. And then they get disseminated through the, you know, whatever mechanism gets them into the hands of Jeff Bergosh, and he sort of puts them on his blog, and then everybody runs with it. And of course, since then, we've had one of the funeral directors back off some of his claims, and the other two has backed off in different degrees as well. And, you know, this starts to look an awful lot more like a conspiracy to defame the medical examiner than it looks like, you know, genuine information. Why would you go through this particular channel? There's also, by the way, a massive new information and public records request it came from the Andrews Law Firm and is asking for everything related to everything of any kind related to the medical examiner from Stephen Berry and Jeff Bergosh, like all of their internet search histories for the last couple of years. I mean, it's exhaustive, and I don't know what that's all going to prove or, you know, even who asked for all of this. I mean, I have theories, but so we'll see what comes out of that. One of the things I have been telling people about this whole episode is I would be surprised if there's not defamation charges of some kind, you know, a case brought against at least Stephen Berry. I don't know whether Jeff Bergosh is going to get into that or not, you know, could well be. But it's the kind of thing that could amount to nothing. Like, it's the kind of thing that, you know, could be nothing. I had called the state attorney's office a couple weeks ago. I talked with them and said, you know, is there a charge here? Is there a law that's been broken? And they said, not that we know of, not yet. And so we're not doing an investigation. Domes had asked them to do an investigation. And they said, we don't see a crime here, so it's not our baby. I called FDLE and asked them, because they work with the district with the medical examiner's board, and asked them, is there an investigation? And they were a little, they don't necessarily love talking to the media, I think. I mean, they're fine. Gretel Plessinger is fine. But they just, you know, I didn't get great, clear answers from them. But I think the takeaway was no investigation here either, at least not yet. One concern that people had raised to me was, aside from other things you might think about, if you're a county commissioner and you coordinate a meeting that creates inappropriate perception of an officer of the court because of exaggerated or fabricated claims about their misbehavior, well, like, Deanna Oleski has to go testify in murder trials. Like, she is one of the key people in our four-county area for prosecuting homicides. And if you bring, like, disrepute upon her, if you make people think that she's not reliable, not professional, can't be trusted, which she is absolutely all of those things, you, again, you know, Commissioner Berry, potentially, or Commissioner Bergosh, potentially, you're making it harder to prosecute murder trials. You're making it harder to get justice for these victims. And would that be some kind of an actionable thing? Well, again, I don't know. It could be nothing, you know, but we'll see. So that's kind of where all of that stuff is. This issue is not gone, even though you're not seeing it a lot, you know, in the news at the moment. We'll be back in just a minute.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Detroit and New York City has some of the worst air quality in the world right now because of smoke from wildfires in Canada.
It's nasty out. My asthma is bad in general, and this is much, much, much worse.
He's in Boston. The air pattern carrying that smoke south into the eastern U.S. is expected to stick around for a few more days. It had been at higher altitudes, not affecting surface air quality. Water's rising farther downstream of a breached dam in southern Ukraine.
The situation is literally critical, says Oleksandr Reva. If the water rises another 3 feet, we will lose our house. At least 42,000 people are thought to be at risk. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says hundreds of thousands don't have clean water to drink.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The Ukrainians and Russians accuse each other of blowing that dam up. Democrat Mike Johnston wins a runoff election for mayor in Denver. He's a former state senator, teacher, and school principal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531, News Radio 92.3. It's 71 degrees, partly cloudy in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. The state of Florida now confirming their role in the recent migrant flight to the state of California. This is after Governor Gavin Newsom and Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg said they were looking into possible kidnapping charges against Governor Ron DeSantis.
Take vulnerable people, put them on a plane, and fly them to a place where they know no one, where they're scared, where they're vulnerable, just so you can score points with your primary voters.
However, the Florida Division of Emergency Management painting a bit of a different picture about the whole story. They say the relocations from Texas. All right, maybe not. Let's see if I've got that information here. Governor DeSantis recently signed the legislation to add $100 million to the My Safe Florida Home Grant Program recently. Now, this will expand those services to communities statewide starting next month. Homeowners could be eligible to apply for up to $10,000, and you can put that money towards replacing a roof, a garage door, a window. With the expansion, the program will be able to fund an additional 10,000 residents. And applications for this program are available online at mysafeflhome.com. Two recent fires on Tippin Avenue and Zaragoza Streets in Pensacola now being investigated, but so far, from what we understand, a cause has not been determined.
It's a good reminder that, you know, the importance of smoke alarms, and the Pensacola Fire Department, you know, tries to play a pretty active role, and I think we're going to get even more active.
And that is Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. He says both city and county residents are eligible for free smoke alarms and getting help installing them as well. He says folks interested should reach out to either the Pensacola Fire Department or Escambia Fire Rescue. And a Pensacola man now out of jail after serving 3 years behind bars for a crime he never committed. George Mask was released from prison recently. He was first arrested on domestic abuse charges way back in November of 2019 after his wife claimed he had beaten her. After nearly a year in a county jail, or 2 years in a county jail, he was found not guilty on that charge, but was still sent to prison because of a probation violation brought on by the arrest, despite having been found not guilty of the crime. He was released several months later after an evidentiary hearing. Mask now says he wants to bring awareness to cases like his, and no charges were ever filed against the accusers in that case. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We're going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms, temperatures warming up into the mid-80s. As we head overnight, we're going to be staying warm with temperatures dropping into the 70s. Pattern continues as you go into your Thursday, temperatures warming up slightly into the upper 80s, chance of an afternoon shower or a thunderstorm, overnight temperatures dropping back in the 70s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now we've got 71. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, and 69 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, who came by the office looking pretty dapper, frankly. I mean, he always looks good, you know, wearing his jeans. Sharp-looking guy, handsome guy, healthy, fit, and wearing his uniform, of course. But yesterday, he was in, like, shirt and tie, you know, like a whole different kind of attire. That's right. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Embarrassed to stand next to you, but
well, it's funny. The joke is, oh, you got court today, but you might have court today.
No, but that's not why. It's Blazer Academy graduation, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm in the kind of our Blazer Academy graduation uniform, which again, as you recall, we provide the kids that go through our program with a pair of khakis, the pants, the belt, and the tie. Just basically, they look like I do, maybe a little smaller version of what I do. And so, and obviously on our graduation day, we all dress the same. So we're all wearing the Blazers. It makes for a pretty good picture. And it's the uniform of
manhood, basically, it's in our culture.
What it is. It's what gentlemen, you know, in the past have worn.
And so
in the future.
How many are you graduating tonight?
We got about 20. We want to keep our classes around 20. We had about 40 one time. It was just too many to really give one-on-one. So we've reduced the numbers to between 20 to 24.
How many other agencies have started? I know you've had a lot of inquiries. I know you've gone around and talked to other people. How many other agencies has this seeded into actual programs so far? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I know that some of them have asked for our curriculum. There's been probably a handful that's asked for our curriculum. And some of them will already have a mentorship program.
So they just kind of adapt.
Morphed it into kind of what we do. They added the Blazer. They added some of them have literally exactly copied it. You know, I know that. I just don't know exactly what. And I get that. I mean, you know, if I see another program that has an aspect that we want to add to ours, then we'll add that little piece to it. The unique piece this time was we added a little bit of financial management. We had someone come in from Central Credit Union. And we also had a gentleman by the name of Chad Mattson. I don't know if you know his story, but he was arrested for DUI manslaughter and served, you know, 12 years in prison for having a couple drinks at work. And then he ended up, unfortunately, killing an individual on a bicycle. And so we had him come in to talk to the kids as well. So we've had a couple of guest speakers this class that were willing to come and help us out.
That's great. It's just, I mean, it's a fantastic program. I can't say enough good about it. Let's talk about some of the events we've had this past week. Going back to our conversation from last week, prior to last week's interview, we had the shooting at Carver Park, this giant unsanctioned party, a couple thousand people all of a sudden getting together. Three people got shot in that incident.
Right.
Where are we at on following up on that?
Yeah, we're still looking at it. We have have the obviously a lot of the video footage that we had from the scene. The one that kind of sticks in my mind is the man walking down the street with a rifle in his hand, and no one seems to be taking that much notice of it. No one seems to be screaming. No one calls us.
What?
In fact, the video, the person that's taking the video is just, look at this guy acting crazy.
What?
Could you give us a call beforehand and let us know? And, you know, here's the thing. It's unsanctioned. It's they just decided to meet at the park.
When you say rifle, I mean, like a lever action, AR?
It doesn't look like a lever action.
I mean,
a cowboy rifle. It looks more like a, you know, I don't know. From the video, can't tell. But I could surmise that it looks like an AR type of a gun.
Okay, go on.
But anyways, yeah, so that's what happened. Then we had the one on Crescent Drive, which again was kind of what we call, well, I'll call it an open house party, in that
this house is tiny. This has got to be like an 800 square foot house, yeah.
Yeah, and they had over 100 people that were there for hours at a time, you know, coming and going. And at one point, someone that I guess knew of the party showed up there, asks for where's he at, and looks for and finds, unfortunately, this one individual and shoots and kills him. And then in the process of that also injures three other people, and they were all taken to the, you know, with non-life-threatening injuries, fortunately, but they were taken to the hospital and ultimately released. So, and this, again, the person that's at this house, the person that's having this party, is, we're still trying to figure it out. It's a rental. You know, who's renting the house, who owns the house, it's an Airbnb. How did they get permission to use this house?
Yeah.
And also, to be honest, who's responsible? Who had this party? Who decided this would be a good idea? And because you can't have what they call an open house party, where you just let anyone come and you know, drink and that sort of thing. So we're looking at that, and I can guarantee you, if we can charge someone for that, we will do that. In fact, I asked my investigators to look into that origin.
I mean, we have, for example, like, you know, liquor licenses and laws, and I mean, there's a variety of laws that would affect something like that, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, and people can have parties. Everyone has, you know,
sure.
People, there's hundreds of parties that take place throughout the county every weekend. There's no doubt, but we don't they don't have shootings. They don't erupt in gunfire and that
right.
sort of thing. And no one knows anything about any who was there. No one knows who started it. No one knows who invited people. No one knows who came with who. And it's just a bit of a mess to try to unravel all of that.
But in spite of the fact that somebody, there was apparently enough knowledge of what was going on at this party that somebody who knew about the party knew who was going to be there enough to show up and shoot that person.
Right.
So clearly the folks in these social circles know exactly what's going on and clearly know who's coming.
Yeah. And again, that's what we're looking at, because it's time that these people help get some responsibility in this thing. If you're going to have a party, and if I have a party at my house, I know who's going to come.
Right.
And if someone comes that's not invited, I say, hey, what are you doing, man? Who are you?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And if someone wants to bring a friend, then they ask you, hey, can I bring a friend? Or you put on the invitation, bring a friend or plus one or bring your family. That's not what's taking place in these things. I think they want a loose affiliation with it, so they're not held responsible. Again, this is over 100 people that are showing up at this house, and imagine, again, you mentioned it, the parking, and then ultimately with the violence that erupted.
Two incidents that happened, one since we talked and one before that. We had talked previously about these two 16-year-olds who had shot at each other, and I think one person wound up getting killed in that incident, if I remember
right.
correctly.
Right.
And it now looks like, and you had talked at the time about this might have been a self-defense situation,
right.
And turns out, I guess they were homeless. This was at a homeless camp. Is this correct?
Well, the two 16-year-old males were not homeless. They went to a homeless camp to buy or obtain drugs with firearms.
Oh, okay.
So they pull
their
guns out and rob the people that are there at the homeless camp. Someone at the homeless camp calls a friend of theirs for help. That guy shows up, and according to the reports and the witnesses that we talked to, these two 16-year-olds open fire on him.
Okay.
Excuse me. And he returns fire, killing one of them, and the other one is arrested, and we end up charging the other one, the other 16-year-old. The surviving 16-year-old with felony murder, because if you're involved in a felony and someone dies as the result of that felony, then you're charged with what we call felony murder.
Okay, so thank you for clarifying. Yeah, that's a whole. I had thought it was the one 16-year-old shot the other 16-year-old, but if they both went to this homeless camp to try to do a felony, commit a robbery, and acquire drugs, and then one gets killed and the other one gets charged, as you said, in the commission of a felony, if somebody dies, you might have pulled the trigger yourself, as far as the law goes. That's the way that
is correct. And we did get guns from the scene for two both guns. are from both these 16-year-olds.
And just as a side note, I mean, you know, somebody that's this is a problem you sometimes run into. We've had other cases like this where, you know, you might say, well, somebody who's homeless, do they have a permit to carry? Which they won't need after July 1st, but, you know, right now, if they're not a felon or anything like that. Well, you know, they're kind of in their home. If they're in a tent or they're in, you know, the right to self-defense applies to homeless people too. And if they're not otherwise prohibited from having a gun, they're certainly lawfully allowed to have it and to use it in self-defense, right?
That's true. Yeah, this is a little bit complicated. Again, you have two 16-year-olds, first of all, who can't carry a gun now, or they won't be able to carry a gun concealed after July 1st either. So they couldn't carry a gun. Then they can't rob people. They can't pull a gun out and threaten people and rob people. And then when another individual shows up, you can't start shooting at that individual while you're, you know, that's a felony. So there's a lot there. There's a stand your ground on the individual that showed up to help.
Right.
Even though he showed up, he wasn't the one that pulled the gun and started shooting, according to the witnesses. And then, so he ends up killing one of the 16-year-olds. The other 16-year-old is being charged with felony murder. So again, there's a lot there. The, you know, they're still 16. They both allegedly had guns. They started it, and there was, so there's a self-defense. There's a felony murder, and then unfortunately, there's an individual that was killed.
That's, thank you for clarifying all of that. That's really useful. The other one that happened since you and I talked is this Circle K incident, where a couple of guys were harassing the employee, the clerk, out on the beach. It was a fairly busy. The Circle K is always busy. And they leave, go out the front door, and he follows them with a gun that he then acquired, according to the video. And it's only the one video we've seen.
Right.
He goes out and he fires a couple of shots. And my thought is, you know, as many times as you and I have talked about the gun laws, I feel like I'm, as a civilian, I'm about as informed as you can be. And I watched this and I thought, well, they're no longer a threat. They have left. He's no longer in danger. Nobody else is in danger. This looks to me like he is now the assailant, like that's an attempted homicide. Even if he's shooting into the ground, which I guess is what happened, it seems like charges would be forthcoming, but you're not charging him. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, we're not charging. We talk a lot about reasonableness, and as you just mentioned, you and I have this conversation all the time. Rehashing a little bit of the video, there are a total of about five kids, or I say kids, young men, that are involved in an altercation with the store clerk, and he's clearly just trying to do his job right. That's the first thing that we looked at, and there you can hear some threats coming outside and that sort of thing. And what you're seeing is, like, some of these go back and forth inside and outside of the door.
Okay.
And so we don't see that where they're going to. Apparently, according to the clerk, that one or two of them would go back to the car at some point and then come back in. And then he felt like they were at their trunk and they may be retrieving a gun based upon all of that that's taking place. So then he pulls his gun, and as he walks out towards the store, you can only see a couple of those men. You can't see all of them. So we don't know what the others were doing. And we saw nothing that would conflict with what he's saying, that he felt like the others were going to the trunk to get his gun. So if you look at that, to me, the tie goes to the runner. The store clerk is doing his job. He is sitting there trying to help others, cashing other people out, while these guys are coming here, giving him a hard time, threatening him in and out. 5-on-1 is never a good odds.
Right.
So I think it's reasonable to think that you know, you might need something to help and protect yourself. To go out there, to leave behind the counter was what we looked at. You know, you could have stayed behind there, but who's to say that those people weren't going to come back in, you know, after we go to their car. He has a better view of them in the parking lot than we did. And the video does not show what happens in the parking lot at the car.
And if they come back in, now the customers are in jeopardy as well, potentially.
Yeah, and now you got more than, you know, 3 or 4-on-1, 5-on-1 potentially. And then again, his fear was that one of them or two of them had a gun. And again, 5-on-1 itself, whether they had a gun or not, is reason to fear for your own safety or that of someone else. So and I looked at it, and it just didn't seem right. I'll be honest. I felt like all this stuff adding up, the totality of the circumstance, it didn't seem right to make the store clerk, who was doing his job working, to put a felony charge on him, to make him a felon over something like that. And again, whether I feel Chip Simmons decides, you know, that he shouldn't be arrested or not, we still looked at the circumstance. We still looked at the fact that what he's saying is consistent with what we see on the video up to the point of him firing the weapon.
Right.
And what happened as he's firing the weapon, that is what we have to go by, the witness statements and or, you know, the clerk's statement. And the other individuals didn't wish to pursue charges. So, we took all that into consideration, and we decided that charges would not be
Well, that's to me, I'm satisfied, of course, with that explanation. That makes sense to me, everything that we've ever talked about. And it's kind of what I tried to say at the time is, based on the one video, this is what it seems like, but I am sure the investigators have more information and a more comprehensive review, and that's what I'm glad to have. So,
well, and witnesses, just to be clear, right. Witnesses and a clerk said that a suspect got a gun. There was a couple people that made that comment to our
investigators. And if they're armed, especially if they've become armed, then right. The circumstances have changed significantly at that point, and that makes perfect sense to me. Last thing we always like to do is end with a little safety tip from the sheriff. Do you have one for us this week?
Well, we have a couple of reports every month where someone tries to exchange commerce. So they buying something, selling something, and then they meet at some location and end up getting robbed or ripped off or stolen from. And we just want to remind people that we have safe exchange zones at the sheriff's office. We have a sign in front of our larger precincts that you can come and you can exchange, you can meet there. If you call someone and say, hey, I want to buy your PlayStation or something, and they say, okay, fine, let's meet somewhere, because you don't want to meet at your house or that sort of thing, mm-hmm. Tell them to meet them at the sheriff's office parking lot. We have a sign for that specifically for a safe exchange, commerce exchange. And if they, for some reason, don't want to meet at the sheriff's office, then don't buy that brand right. new PlayStation for right. $20. That's not don't do that.
Right.
Because but we do have an opportunity for people to come, and we don't even mind if they exchange, you know, make a do custody exchanges at the sheriff's office parking lot.
Well, that's all good information, and certainly those can be high tension as well, as we very well know with the case in Santa Rosa County.
Right.
You know how that can be dangerous. So good safety advice, Sheriff Chip Simmons. As always, thank you, sir. Thanks so much for the time. Thanks for doing, and man, continued Godspeed on this Blazer Academy that y'all are pursuing. It's fantastic.
You bet. Y'all take care.
552 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Do you love your car? I mean, you know, if you cringe a little bit when I ask the question, you're like, oh, don't ask me that. Okay, well, that's fine. Look, you know, every car goes through a relationship phase, right? You love it, and then you like it, and then you put up with it, and then you're like, stop asking me about my car. I'm not happy. Right? Okay, so if you're into the kind of, like, don't ask me phase or the boy, it's really bad, that's when you go look at a new one. Because you should love your car. Think about how much time you spend driving in your car and, you know, parking it in the garage or in the driveway or in the lawn, wherever you park it. You know, I'm not judging. The point is that you should not be angry at, disappointed at, or ashamed of your car. Go get a good one. Frontier Motors specializes in those kinds of vehicles. Ones you can feel good about because they're high quality, they're relatively new, you know, a year or two old, low miles, great condition, good prices. And discover, again, that you can love your car. And in fact, try several different ones, and then you can find the one that you really like the most, and then, you know, buy that one. And then when I ask you the next time, you can be like, I do. I love this car. I bought it at Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit the friendly folks at Coastal Machinery, now with 40 years in business. Locations in Pensacola and Crestview.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Need urgent care or a walk-in clinic? Go to ProHealth. Post-accident physical to access your PIP money? Go to ProHealth. Drug test, DNA testing? Go to ProHealthFL.com. Affordable lab work or primary care? Go to ProHealth. An affordable Ozempic medical weight loss program? ProHealth is your answer. Does your child need a camp or a sports physical? Only $40 at ProHealth. ProHealth never requires a doctor's order or an appointment. Just walk right in one of their seven locations. Also at ProHealthFL.com.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Hey, don't push me. Push a push pop.
You know, I will say this. If you go back and watch the Push Pops ads for like the late 80s or 90s, you probably just wouldn't make those same ads today. I'll just put it there.
I did not think you were going to say that out loud on the air, but yeah.
It's just unfortunate, but there it is. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative local ABBA. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There is air quality alerts in the Northeast today because of a lot of smoke from Canadian wildfires.
Coughing, chest is tight, asthma acting up a little bit.
It's almost like you've got this little fog going into your body.
Apparently, it's causing a big disruption in New York City. Pretty much all outdoor activities are being limited, and folks are being told to stay inside. The UN says that over 40,000 people are at risk of flooding after a dam collapsed in southern Ukraine. Ukraine and Russia both blaming each other for the damage to that dam. Ukraine says Russia committed a war crime in blowing it up on Tuesday. Russia says Ukraine did it to create a distraction. And Prince Harry back in court again today. He's defending himself against British tabloids, accusing the publisher of the Daily Mirror of using unlawful techniques to get information about his personal life for front page headlines. Yesterday, he took the stand, became the first member of the royal family to testify in court in over a century.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. We've had two moderately high profile and one a little bit less profile members of the Pensacola City, like the management team, basically get asked to leave. And, you know, we told you that Charlie Pepler, I think I said Claude Pepler yesterday. That's an old political reference from like the 80s. Charlie Pepler was asked to depart as the attorney. And now you've got Adrian Stills, who used to run the golf course and has been the Parks and Recs guy for several months under, you know, inherited from Grover Robinson. And then you had Lawrence Powell, who ran against Grover and then was given this neighborhoods coordinator position. And he's been asked to go. And now also Kelsey Powell. So they were asked about this, and all three of them are black. All three are black guys, which of course,
I worked with Kelsey at TK.
Never looks like the, you know, that's not the thing you want. And I know, I think I know his wife really well. I think we were in Leap together. So
Right.
Anyway, so you know, that's something that doesn't look good at first. So the mayor was asked about this yesterday.
The administration doesn't take a stance of getting into details on personnel issues, but for a point of clarification, just want to let you know. That Lawrence and Adrian were presented with a release, and they have 21 days. It's a federal law. They have 21 days to consider that. While they're considering that, that is what's considered to be administrative leave.
And I think, if I remember correctly, it was Lawrence Powell has actually agreed, and he has resigned, and Adrian Stills is still considering.
I'm not going to get into any details of who, what, why, but what I can tell you, out of respect for them, we're going in a different direction. I have a lot of respect for Adrian and Lawrence, and I think at the end of the day, you know, we have to make decisions about what we believe the best direction of the city is.
And he says there is no cause, no underlying misbehavior or anything like that. And also, even though they're black,
I don't judge people's performance on skin color. That's not how we operate the city. I think having a diverse workforce, of which we do, is a very valuable thing, whether you're in private business or you're in the city.
Yeah, and there's no reason to think otherwise. Nobody mentioned that Charlie was white, you know, like, so it's kind of, you know, I don't think it's any particular thing that direction. I just know that sometimes people make assumptions based on, you know, what they see on the short term. And certainly there's no reason to believe any of that kind of nonsense is true about D.C. or anybody. I mean, you know, the city administrator is black, so, you know, left over from Grover Robinson. But we'll talk about it with
Listen on air at 92.3.